for all things are possible. Only believe. Jesus, you're here. Jesus, you're here. All things are possible now that you're here. Jesus, you're here. Jesus, you're here. And all things are possible now that you're here.
Amen. If we open our Bibles this evening to Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8, and reading from verse 30. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah. And he said, Understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, How can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come and sit with him. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear gracious Father, we're truly a privileged people, Lord, to know that you had a man here that could turn on the light. And Father, you came down yourself, you spoke through a vindicated prophet, and you made this Bible become a new book to us. And realizing, Father, that as the Word of God goes forth first from that vindicated prophet that humbled himself and sat at the feet of your pillar of fire, and then out from him through the fivefold ministry who have been faithfully taught. And we see here that it was not a vindicated prophet, but it was Philip. He was a deacon. And yet when he was asked to go through the scripture, the man received everything that was given to him and was baptized that very day. And then, Father, you transported somehow Philip to a different place. So, Lord, we know that your divine presence was there, and we can see the fruits of it in that man's life that was baptized. And so, Lord, we commit our thoughts tonight to thy word. We commit them back to thee and ask that you would bring forth manifestation in our lives, the very life that is in this word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. This evening, I'm just going to take a very short sermon, and then I'm going to show you some pictures of our trip. It's a tremendous, wonderful blessing that we had down there. And I'm going to just talk a little bit about the fivefold ministry and then on mission work. In Acts chapter 20, verse 28, we read, Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock, over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseer, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. So here we have a man, Philip, who basically, when he began to break down that word, what it meant, because the guy was reading and he couldn't understand, but it was really touching his heart. And then God sent a man along. You know, God still uses men. Amen. And so we find in Acts, he says, take heed, feed the church, which God has purchased with his own blood, but he's telling you to do it as a minister. In Romans 10, 14 to 17, we read, How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him in whom they have not heard? Then how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they say, but they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now Martin Luther, in his book on Romans, he comments on this and he says, Even though they say that they hear, they boast in vain unless they hear true preachers. For to hear false prophets means as much as not even to hear. They hear and yet they do not hear. They have ears, but they do not hear. Nor do they preach the true word of God. There are four statements which follow one after another in such a way that one leads to the other, but so that the last forms the foundation of which all the others rest. Thus, number one, it is impossible that those preach who are not sent. Because really, if they're not sent, they're running without a message. Right? Two, it is impossible for those to hear who are without a preacher. And three, it is impossible that they believe who do not hear. Four, it is impossible that they could call upon him whom they do not believe. To these must be added a fifth. It is impossible that they who do not call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So then the entire source and origin of salvation rests on this one thing, that God sends out someone, a true minister of the word. Because if he does not send out any, then they who are preaching falsely, and their preaching is no preaching at all. In fact, it would be better for them not to preach. Then also they who would hear error, and it would be better for them not to even hear. Then also they who believe would believe a false doctrine, and it would be better for them not to even call. For such preachers do not preach, such hearers do not hear, such believers do not believe, such callers do not call. And they will be damned because they would be saved by falsehood. As we read in Proverbs 1:28, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer them. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me, for that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. Then only they can preach with certainty who preach without error. And I believe the only way you can preach without error is to take what a vindicated prophet says and run it back to the Bible. Any other method is totally puts you into a place where you're throwing out your own thoughts. And the Bible says God is not a man that he could lie. Now, we know that Paul said in Romans 10, and we know that in 2 Corinthians 11, and again in the book of Galatians, he says if they receive a wrong word, they will receive a wrong spirit. In Galatians, he calls it a perverted spirit. How then can we think of anyone who sits under a wrong ministry and has a wrong conception of the message would have a right spirit, which is the Holy Spirit? A wrong conception is a wrong quickening to life, because conception means quicken to life. We find in 1 Peter 1, verse 23, that we are born again not of corruptible seed, but by an incorruptible seed, by the word of God, which lives and abides forever. Jesus told us that the sower sowed a seed, which is the word of God, and that seed will produce a life according to the law of reproduction, which states every seed must bring forth after its own kind, after its own nature. Then to receive a wrong word is to receive a wrong seed, and therefore must produce a wrong spirit or a wrong life. It can't be any other way. And what I don't understand is for people to say, what is this that we keep hearing about manifestation and manifestation? Listen, let me just say this. If you've got a word here and it's not here, it's not going to do you any good. If it doesn't, and if the life of the word does not manifest through this, you're lost. You've got a total intellectual conception and you are a lost individual. It's just that simple. Just go back to what the prophet said, and you can't get away from it. His entire message was to get the people to manifest Christ. That's what it's all about. In 1 John 4 and 6, we read, we are of God, and he that knoweth God will hear us. He that is not of God will not hear us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Now, did you know that Brother Brown said that we must have a right teaching in order to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost? And in fact, Paul says in 1 Corinthians, he says, what man can know the things of God except the Spirit of God be in him? So how in the world can you understand the Bible correctly if you're not born again? It all has to come down to manifestation. That's what the token's all about. Brother Brown said, just don't talk about the token. He said, you've got to apply it. It's got to be manifested. To receive the seal of God. And if you don't receive the seal of God, there's only one seal left, and that's the seal of Satan, which is the mark of the beast. Now, notice that Jesus, up to this point in the parable, in chapter 6 of Luke, he's been speaking about not following blindly, because you could be following someone who is blind, just as blind as you are. Remember, Jesus says, the blind will lead the blind, and won't they all fall into the ditch? And then he tells us, if your teacher has rightly equipped you, then you will become as that teacher. Now, there's no reason why the people can't. I mean, we've had 50 years to come to an understanding of this message, and it's not that you're going to figure it out. The Holy Ghost has been here 50 years. 50 years teaching us. In other words, you will think like him. You will speak like him and act like him. Now, I'm not talking about Brother Vail, I'm talking about the teacher, the real teacher for this hour. Brother Vail was a teacher, and he was probably, a very profound teacher, as Brother Branham said. But the real teacher was Brother Branham, because he taught everybody. He taught Brother Vail. He taught all the fivefold ministry that are under him. And his teacher is the Holy Ghost, because the Holy Ghost is a teacher. And if your teacher has rightly equipped you, then you will become as that teacher. In other words, you'll think like he thinks, you'll speak like he thinks, like him, you'll act like him. Now, and that's not to say that we'll, you know, in the flesh we'll have the same quirks in the flesh that any person would have, but we're guided by one thing, and that is the Word of God. Paul said, my whole desire is that you speak the same thing, you say the same thing. In 2 Timothy 4, verses 3 to 5, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. Now, this means that there's coming a time when they will no longer put up with correct teaching. But after their own lusts, they shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. In other words, the people having the itching ears, they will heap to themselves teachers. You know, what did this guy say? 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 And there is no absolute. They instead of having a vindicated prophet as the absolute for the hour, this camp has got this teacher. This camp's got this teacher. This camp's got this teacher. And pretty soon you've got people running everywhere after what these teachers say, and they've forgotten or they've left the principles of the doctrine of Christ. Now, it's really strange how people could actually be so stupid that they would rather listen to fables and stories than to hear the truth. But just look at the Roman Catholicism. It's full of stories. It's full of fables and made up things. And yet there are over 800 million people who believe it. And if you think about some of the superstition that's rampant in the Catholic Church, much of the superstition, and yet you've got doctors and lawyers and very intelligent people are believing that superstition. Why wouldn't that then fall down into this message as well? And it does in all these different camps. So we are commanded, but watch thou in all things. That's what Jesus said. And this is essential to watch, because to watch means to keep an eye on what's happening, to be observant. And that's the key where we're at right now. So we find in Ephesians 4, verse 11, he says, and he gave some, that's plural, some to be apostles and some to be prophets and some to be evangelists and some to be pastors and teachers for the perfecting or the maturing or the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying, the building up of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto a mature man, unto the measure of the stature of the character of Christ. That we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. If you'll notice, the fivefold ministry is to bring forth a maturing and a confidence. You know, so that we're not tossed back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. The thing that I find in these different circles or camps or whatever you want to call them, these different doctrines, when they try to tie you to a particular person, if you listen to what they say, all of a sudden you've got a fear complex. And yet the Bible says he hasn't given us a spirit of fear. So if he didn't give us a spirit of fear, where'd it come from? It didn't come from him. It's coming from man. Man always wants to put people in fear, always wants to put them in bondage. That's what it says in the Church Age book about that Nicolaitan spirit. And that Nicolaitan spirit, listen, it doesn't matter what camp they're in. It doesn't matter where in the world they're in. It's the same. If it's a Nicolaitan spirit, it's going to have the same fruits. And if you have the Spirit of Christ, you're going to have the same fruits. Amen? I mean, it's just that simple. Every seed after its kind. Acts 17, verse 11. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the Scriptures daily whether those things were so. Here you have a group of people who studied the Bible. They were like the Bereans. You know, they lived for the Word of God. You know, it was everything to them. They were more noble than those of Thessalonica because they received the Word with readiness of mind and they searched the Scriptures daily. That's it, daily. Matthew 28, 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Ghost. And we know that there's only one name that fits all those titles, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. So the ministry is to go forth to teach, and actually in other places he says go forth to preach, and Brother Brown said that's with demonstration and power. So like Brother Mario said while we were down there, he said, I don't understand why people fuss about the different things that we have seen. Because he said, doesn't the Bible show us that the apostles, who were not the prophet for the age, but they were apostles, They were fivefold ministers, and yet the Bible confirmed the ministries with signs and wonders. So shouldn't it be the same today? And he said that just after we had, it was, what day was it? It was Saturday night, Saturday night service. It had been like 100 degrees all day long. It was so hot that it was just miserable. And so anyway, we, I mean, you couldn't even see Friday night. But anyway, so it was so hot and miserable that I asked the people just to bow their heads before service. And recalling that we had the same scene back years ago in Cincinnati, I just asked the Lord, I said, Father, you know, you're the same. You're not a respecter of persons. We have the same situation we had here in Cincinnati. It's been close to 100 degrees, and you're the God of all comfort. Therefore, I'm asking you to change the weather so that we could be comfortable. And I said, if you wouldn't mind, somewhere close to 30 degrees. It doesn't have to be specific. And the temperature dropped from, it was something like 34 Celsius, which is about 94, 95 degrees, something like that. And it dropped down to 70 degrees. And what was interesting about that is that we had people come up after a service. And these are people that their church down there, there's two churches in Argentina, the one in Cordoba and the one in Rumipal. And both of them are very tied to this ministry here. And in the one in Cordoba, the brother actually, they have kind of a working relationship, the father and or the pastor, and then his daughter who plays the piano, her husband, he teaches. And so he takes my sermons on Sunday, and then he teaches them the next Sunday. So they've been very concurrent with what we believe, what we stand for here. And they're seeing a lot of changes. In fact, one of the sisters asked me, she said, you know, Brother Brian, she said, I find it so hard to die. But she said, but I know it's essential to die to myself. I said, that's right. I said, he never said it'd be easy. He said, you know, if we suffer with him, we'll reign with him. So, but what happened was that one of the sisters there, actually the one who played the piano, she came up to me after services and she said, Brother Brian, I wanted you to know that as soon as you prayed that, she said, I thought, oh no, I didn't bring enough clothes. You know, and actually when we were standing out there, the older daughter, her, it'd be the grandchild of the pastor, she had eaten some. She had eaten a lot of chocolate and some water, and it didn't settle, and she was having a severe breathing attack and everything else. So we went out to pray for her outside, and the Lord instantly healed her. And at the same time, the storm came up and just blew over, and it dropped. The temperature dropped from nearly 100 degrees down to 70 degrees, and these people were standing out there shivering. The pastor had to put on his jacket, and they were all just praising the Lord because, you know, when you expect things, God gives you what you're looking for, what you ask for. He said, and the thing is, it's not that we have power, but he has a power because, you know, when he said in John 14:12, and I even quoted that, I said, Father, to show the people that John 14:12 and verse 13 is still today, would you change the weather and drop it by, you know, drop it down to about 70 degrees? And he did. And the people saw that, see, all you have to do is ask. He said, ask anything in my name and I will do it. If you're a believer. But if you're not a believer, you don't even expect it to happen. But everybody in that building was expecting. And they got it. Because as soon as the service was over, boom, all of a sudden the winds came and the hail came. I mean, not the hail, the winds came and the rain came. And it just drove the temperature down. And then the interesting thing was the next day we had testimonies after service of people who actually tornadoes came through. And people, when they went home to their homes, the tornadoes were coming, and they went around their homes, didn't touch any of their homes. And that was two different people. Praise, you know, just wanted to praise God for that. And we had several healings. And so, you know, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. If we truly believe, he's more than willing to show us that he's here with us. So Brother Brown says, from 70 weeks of Daniel, he's many times... People hear from the tapes and they say, well, I disagree with that. He just don't know his teaching, doesn't know the scripture. Well, you know, that may be true, see. I wouldn't say that that isn't true, but to me, I study it, not taking any words. I read what other men say, has to say, and appreciate them. And everything that anyone says, I appreciate it. But then I take it to God, and I stay with it until I can explain it from Genesis to Revelation. And then see it all hook up in the Bible. And then I know that it's somewhere near right. And of course, where you're right, that's just one place that I got off of the line at. And maybe where you're wrong or right, that's where I got off the line and vice versa. So, you know, the attitude Brother Branham took was, you know, not, oh, brother, you know, you said one thing that I disagree with, so I'm leaving you for good. You know, I can't sit in a ministry where, you know, somebody says something that I disagree with. Well, that's not the attitude Brother Branham had. The attitude Brother Branham had was, hey, we're human beings. We get a notion, we preach the word as best we can. We're all trying to make it. We're all trying to be as right as we can. And so our attitude should be, hey, you know, if I'm eating the cherry pie and I come across a pit, I would just spit out the pit, but I sure love cherry pie. I don't give up eating cherry pie because there might be some pits in there. And he said the same thing about bones. He said, my favorite meat's chicken. He said, when I get to the bone, he said, I just nibble around the bone. I said, I throw the bone out, but I love that chicken. I'm not going to throw the whole chicken away because I got some bones in it. You know, and even that, you know. So from being not afraid, Brother Brad said, and I looked at him and I called him by name. I'm not afraid to say it, because many of you know him. And I said, Doctor, I'm surprised that a man your caliber, a servant of Christ, would ask another servant of Christ to compromise on the Word of God. That's right. And I said, I'm surprised at you saying that. And he said, well, we think that you're wrong in your conception. And I said, then correct me by the Scripture. That's the way it is. I said, then correct me. See? And I said, I would not compromise on the Word of God, no, sir. So you see, even Brother Branham had people coming up to him saying, well, we think you're wrong. That's fine if you think I'm wrong. But show me in the Bible. Now, people say, well, I got quotes, okay? Show me the quotes. Show them to me. And do they compare with the other 300 or 1,000 quotes that we have of Brother Branham saying what we believe?
That's right.
You see, like I said, there's guys who went around saying, well, you know, Brother Branham's off. He's off the word. No, Brother Branham was wrong when he said that God left Jesus in Gethsemane. You know, it's that same spirit. I said, well, if I can show you in the Bible. Oh, yeah, if I can see it in the Bible, then I'll believe it. And I showed him where Jesus said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He said, well, no, I still don't believe it. I said, well, that's because you're an unbeliever. You see, John 14:12 is not for the unbeliever. John 14:12 is for the believer. So if you don't believe it, that shows you're an unbeliever. That's all I can say. I'm not saying that to be arrogant. I'm just saying that that's a fact. He said, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. And greater works shall he do because I go to my Father. All right. Well, they said, well, Brother Vail, you know, he's off the word. All right. Get your Bible. Stand next to Brother Vail on the platform. And show him where he's off. I had to do that in Uganda. And I challenged 230 preachers to come up with their Bible and stand next to me. Just like Brother Branham challenged the 400 ministers up there in Chicago. And not a one of them dared to come up. So one brother said to me, well, I just think you're false. I think you're teaching false. I said, well, brother, I said, then give me a scripture. Show me what scripture I'm teaching wrong. He said, you know your Bible better than I do, so I can't do it. I said, then you're going by feelings. And we don't go by feelings. We go by the Word of God. My goodness. So, what people are basing their concepts on is feelings. And the Bible never said, do you feel it? He said, do you believe it? If you cannot base what you believe based on the Bible, then those that can't are still lost in their unbelief. Sin is unbelief. Now, from identified Christ with Christ, Brother Brown said, listen, friends, don't try to depend and seek sensations. Instead, rely upon reality. See? Not sensations. Shouting is all right. Speaking in tongues is all right. Praising the Lord is all right. Faith for miracles is all right. All those things and those feelings. Some of them say, oh, I felt it like a rushing wind. And other ones say, I felt like fire in my soul. What? That doesn't make it right either way. It's what you are after you received it. That's what we're preaching. If you've really got the Holy Ghost, there's got to be a change in your life. If you really have the Spirit of God living in your life, then you're going to live like Him, talk like Him, think like Him. And Brother Brown said, see, that's what counts. See, you can't pin it on any sensation. Now, that's honestly the best that I know. Now, I may be wrong, and if I am, then I misunderstand the scripture. And if it's contrary, well, I don't mean to be contrary, see, but I'm just telling it my version of what I believe is the truth. And that's all any minister of God can do. We don't have all the answers, but the thing is, the Bible does. And if we're honest in our heart, we'll go to the scripture and we'll ask the Lord to help us to the best of our understanding. And as best my understanding is, in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, he says that no man can understand the things of God except the Spirit of God be in him. So when I have when I see people doing things that, you know, the Spirit of God would not do, I have to question, do they even have the Holy Ghost? Now, you can have the Holy Ghost and lose your joy of your salvation. Remember, David said, restore unto me the joy of my salvation. You can lose your joy, but that doesn't mean you lost the Holy Ghost. But see, if you know, when a man is doing things contrary to the scripture and is confused in their mind, and they're doing things, you know, I mean, look, a good Catholic knows the Ten Commandments and they try to live by them. You would think in this message, which, you know, should be the lighthouse on the hill, that we would all have a life that would be daily checking up with the Holy Ghost. So that's all we can say, you know, as far as those things are go. So let me just, at this time, I'm just going to put on these pictures. And let me see if I can do it this way. I should ask my Apple experts. Justin or Chrissy use the Apple a lot. So can I just highlight all of them and then do a right click and do an open? Okay, I'll do an open with. Should be a application iPhoto. Okay, let's just do it this way. Can we hit the lights?